Hey, good, you're all on the same page. Well, that's true, yeah, that's wonderful, wonderful. Well, it's great to be here this morning with you all. We're going to be praying for one or two situations later, but we just to let you know, and I've spoken to Claude, he says, Phil is getting better. We finally managed to convince him to stop doing anything, like the doctors originally said, and he's starting to get better. Hey, so praise the Lord for that. Right, we're going to celebrate this morning because it is a rather special day. And I just want to read something just to remind us why it's such a special day. And that's right, keep on, if you want to make a noise, if you want to shout and go, yeah, anytime, that's fine. It doesn't put me off, and if it puts anybody else off, they need to be doing it as well. So just listen to this. Mary Magdalene stood crying outside the tomb. She was still weeping when she stooped down and saw two angels inside. They were dressed in white and were sitting where Jesus' body had been. One was at the head, the other was at the foot. The angels asked Mary, "Why are you crying?" She answered, "They've taken away my Lord's body. I don't know where they've put him." As soon as Mary said this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there. And this is the bit I really like. But she did not know who he was. Jesus asked her, "Why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. That's why I like this bit. For those of you who don't know, that's what I do for a living. And she said, "Sir," and I get this often, "if you've taken his body away, please tell me so I can go and get him." Then Jesus turned to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabbi, teacher." And obviously, from what Jesus then says, she obviously rushed forward to grab him. Surprise, surprise. And Jesus said, "Don't hold on to me. I have not yet gone to the Father. But tell my disciples I'm going to the one who's my Father and your God, as well as your Father and your God." And then Mary Magdalene, what did she do? She rushed off and told the disciples she'd seen the Lord. And she also told them what I said as well. Isn't that amazing? Can you just picture yourself? You're there crying your eyes out that this wonderful man who did so much for you was dead. And then suddenly, whoa, he's alive. Isn't that? Yeah, thank you, Mark. I can see you think that's really great. So let's rejoice and sing. And our first song, "He Has Risen." So by the end of this song, if you've had any doubts, you'll be sure. Thank you.
Jesus. And Lord, if anyone wants just to say anything, please do.
Lord, we love you, we praise you, we worship you. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
And Lord, we'll see you in your creation. The clouds are coming up, the sun that's shining, the new life. Driving around these fields, we see new lambs, a new life, Lord. We see that, and we thank you, Lord, Jesus. For the new life.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord.
Lord, I thank you that you give us hope. Hope that no one else and nothing else can bring. Even in those darkest hours, you give us hope.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name. Let's sing about how Jesus chose to do this for us because he loves us so much and God desired our friendship so much. Thank you. He chose the cross. Together this morning to celebrate that we are forgiven, we are restored because of what you did. You died in our place and rose again, conquering death forever, for eternity. Lord, we can't quite fathom what eternity means, but when we think we've just begun to measure the universe that you created and we've run out of light years to work it out, you're bigger than all of that because you created it all. And yet you love each one of us specially. Lord, we just want to thank and praise you this morning. In your precious name, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Do take a seat. And Claudia is going to come with assistance.
How does this work?
Just clip it onto somewhere that's comfortable.
Somewhere. Never done this before.
No, you have to clip the other way.
Oh, the other way.
Yes,
okay.
So if you clip it onto the... That's it. Yeah.
Like that. Is that okay?
That's it.
Okay, and where do I put this? Put it there. If it disappears, let me know. All right. It'll pop. have to balance. Okay, right. Thank you for coming along this morning. I'm looking for, it's going already. Oh, well. I'm looking for 12 volunteers. Now, you can be age 2, 22, or 102, so it doesn't matter. Right, so Hannah, could you please give out 12 eggs and give one to Roger as well at the back? Okay. Now, it's really important that you don't open the eggs. They've all got a number, and what we're going to do, we're going to unpack the Easter story in order of the eggs. At the bottom of your egg, you'll see a number. So when it comes to your number, then you need to open it, have a look inside, and Anthony's got an over some information, and we'll be able to see that on a bigger screen, and then you can come up and add things to the Easter garden. Right. How are we getting on, Hannah? Right, so not everybody really has heard the Easter story. I expect some people here aren't Christians. Maybe some of you are, and you've heard the Easter story in different ways. But we might come across a few things that you may not know were particularly related to the story. So, Anthony, we'll look at that when the egg is open. All right, thank you. Right, so... Number one, Palm Sunday. We got the first Easter egg. It's a dark blue egg. Who's got that? Fantastic. Could you open it for us? What's inside? Fantastic. Now we can have that on the big screen. Thank you. So what was the donkey all about? What can you help us with that? What was the donkey used for? Absolutely, well done. So Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the donkey, and also people were waving things in the air. Can people remember what that was? Anybody? Palm leaves, absolutely. And people threw their coat onto the floor for Jesus to ride into Jerusalem. Right, could you bring that up then, please? Give that back to Hannah, wherever she is. And in the box, let me put this over here. See if you can find a larger version of what you had, and pop it in the Easter garden. Oh, this is disappearing. Oh, that's gone right down. I'll just hang on to it. Right, okay, number two. It's a light pink egg. Who's got number two? Fantastic. Open it then, Grace. What's inside? Some money. Right, can anybody think... How was money? How did that fit into the Easter story? 30 pieces of silver. Absolutely. 30 pieces of silver. Who was that given to, possibly?
That was given to the
gods. It was given to... Now, in Matthew 25, it says, then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 disciples, went to the leading priests and asked, how much will you pay me to betray Jesus to you? And they gave him 30 pieces of silver. You're absolutely right, Roger. And from that day on, Judas began looking for an opportunity to betray Jesus. What does betray mean? That's quite a big word, isn't it? Betray. To let down, absolutely. Grace, could you bring that money forward, please? And in the box, you might find... Give that to Hannah. And find 30, get some money out, and then you can put it in the Easter garden.
Okay.
Thank you. Right, number three. It's a light purple egg. Fantastic. What's inside? What is it? It's a little cup. Right, what was the cup used? What do you think? Absolutely. The Last Supper, some people call it the goodbye meal, and this is the Passover cup, and we use that with other things as well. Sometimes we use it with, sometimes we do it quite regularly in church.
Bread.
Absolutely, bread, and what do we call that when we have the wine and the bread? Fantastic, you've got your thinking caps on, guys, thanks. Bring that forward. See if you can find a larger cup in there. It might be a bit too big for the Easter gardens, so we might have to just put that to the side. Well done, you. Thank you. So on to number four now. It's an orange egg. Who's got number four? Fantastic, Roger. A big kid. What's inside? Some hands, praying hands. Now, who do you think did a lot of praying? A lot of praying.
Jesus.
Absolutely. Why do you think he did a lot of praying?
Because his father was in heaven, so he prayed.
Absolutely. And he knew something quite frightening was about to happen. And although Jesus is God, he still thought it was important for him to pray to God for his friends to be with him and give him support. Roger, are you all right to come up forward, or do you want to give it to somebody else? Right. Well, Roger, sorry, I haven't got any. Take your time. Thank you. Thank you. I haven't got any praying hands, but there's a heart in there.
Would that be the
yeah,
one?
Absolutely. You can pop that. Pop that somewhere in the Easter garden. Thank you, Roger. Yeah, anywhere would be great. Thanks. Thank you very much. Right, so number five, it's a green egg. Right, could you open that up, please? What's inside? That's a strip of leather. Yes, strip of leather. So what was the strip of leather used in the Easter story? It was a whip, yes. That was a whip. So the Jewish leaders sent a crowd of men armed with swords, clubs, to arrest Jesus. Judas said to them, in Matthew 26, it says, "The man that I kiss is the man you want to arrest." Jesus was put in prison, and in the morning on Good Friday, they took him to Pontius Pilate, who questioned him. And in Matthew 27, it explains that Pilate found nothing wrong with Jesus, but he still had Jesus hit with the whip. So could you bring that forward, please? And I have something in the box. Thanks. I'll just take that from you. Give that to Hannah. There's something in there that might... There. Absolutely. That might be a bit too big to put that on in the garden. But that just kind of represents what he went through. Thank you. Right, so number six. I think it's a yellow egg. It's a light yellow. Anybody got that? Fantastic, Joel. What's inside? What have you got inside there? What's that? A crown. Is it a nice gold, pretty crown? Is it pretty with lots of precious stones in? What is it? It is a crown. It's a crown of thorns. Now, why would we want a crown of thorns in the Easter story? Anybody know why, Grace? Absolutely. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Joel, could you bring that forward, sweetheart? Please give the egg to Hannah. And then in the box we have, it's a little bit sharp, so be careful. All right, and give that to Hannah. Hannah will take that as well. So in the box, Joel, let me bring that. Can you see something in there that looks like, not that one, sweetheart, the crown of thorns. Can you see something right next to it? A little bit sharp. There we go. That's it. Where should we put that? If you talk to Hannah, she might be able to help you find a home for that. Lovely. Thank you. Right. So I think we're on to number seven. Is that right? Yes. That's another yellow egg. I think it's bright yellow, that one. Ah, right. It is a cross. Look very carefully at the cross. What's it made up of? And nails, yes. What were nails used in the Easter story? Absolutely, to pin Jesus to the cross. Could you bring that forward, Hannah? Give it to Hannah. And then in the box, there's a little purple bag with some nails in. And then you can pop those in the Easter garden. Thank you. So that was number seven, and we're on number eight. I think that's a light green egg. Yay, what's inside?
A dice,
right. That's a bit unusual, isn't it? So what's that got to do with the Easter story? Are they playing a game of some kind? It's a funny time to play a game. Absolutely, yes. You're absolutely right. So in Psalm 22, way back then it said, they divide my garments among themselves and throw dice for my clothing. So the Roman soldiers weren't worried about Jesus on the cross. They were more interested in what they could get out of this whole event. So could you bring that forward, please? And in the box there's a slightly bigger dice. You can add that to the garden. That's great. Thank you. So number 9, purple egg. Great. Can you open that, see what's inside? What's that? It's like a spear, yes. So what was that used in the Easter story? Do you have any idea? Can you help, Grace? It was. Not very nice, but to check that he was dead, they put a spear in his side and blood and water came out. And that's a medical proof that he was actually dead, the fact that the water came out of his body as well. So could you give that egg to Hannah? And then in the box... Oh, it's hiding. There it is. There you go. Can you reach? Good lad. Add that to the Easter garden. Brilliant. Thank you. Right, so we're on number 10. That's a cream or white egg. Open it carefully. Oh, what's that? Some fabric. What's fabric used for? What was that? What was fabric or some linen? What was that used in the Easter story? Any ideas, Jeff? Absolutely. Wrap Jesus' body in strips of linen. Mark 15, it says, all this happened on Friday, the day before Sabbath, and a man called Joseph of Arimathea, he was a Jewish leader, and he was frightened that if they found out that he believed in Jesus, then they would be afraid that he would be killed as well. So he took Jesus' body, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a tomb in his garden. So if you could give Hannah that little bit of cloth. And then in the box, there should be a bigger piece. And maybe you could put that in the tomb or close to it, something like that. Absolutely, well done. That's the tomb there, by the way. The flower pot. It's the tomb. Thank you, that's great, thank you. Right, so that was number 10. Number 11, I think that's a pink egg. Yay, what's inside?
A rock,
a massive stone. What was that used in the story? At the back, yeah? Absolutely. They rolled a massive stone, probably as heavy as a bus, maybe even more, in front of the tomb. And what they also did was they sealed it with a special seal so that if it was broken, the people that stole the body or the guards would also get killed. So it's like really important that this seal wasn't broken. So who had that? That was you. Could you bring that forward then, please? Thanks. And in the box there's a larger stone. Maybe we could pop that over the, just in front of the tomb. Good job. Thank you very much. Thank you. So, the last one, number 12. Yay. So 3 days later, what happened? Should we open the last one? Oh? What's inside? It's empty. Oh! That's amazing. So everything that Jesus has gone through, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, went to the tomb 3 days later. And in Matthew 28, it says, the angel said, no one has taken Jesus' body, but instead he has risen from the dead. The angel told them to go tell the disciples what they had seen and that Jesus had risen. The women ran and told them the great story. Fantastic. And could you move the stone? Move it. Can you pick that up? And we could just move that right out of the way. We can pop it over here, couldn't we? Not on top of the chickens, poor things. Thank you very much. So, after Jesus rose, he appeared 500 times to different people over a period of time. And because of that, we know as a fact that Jesus rose from the dead. And I was thinking as I was preparing this, that like the tomb, our hearts could be empty. But if you ask Jesus, talk to him, he can bring life back into your heart. So the message is, Jesus is risen. Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Through all the different accounts of the Easter morning, it suddenly becomes very aware that all the women that he met and all the women that heard believed straight away. But all the men were so slow to believe it. there's a message in that, guys. I thought, anyway. We need to believe when Jesus says something. But the women seem to be so quick, they straight away. And there's one account where when they go back and tell them, they said, no, you just got it all wrong. And then when Peter and John ran there, they said, look, there's no one here, he's dead. So, yeah, that was interesting. We're going to take up an offering, and then we're going to pray. So if you'd like to just pass the bag round for those who've... If you're not members here or you haven't got an offering, it doesn't matter, but we want to for those to give... Now's the time to give to the work of the church here. And we've got a number of situations we need to bring. And we can bring it in such confidence this morning, I think, because we've just been reminded of what Jesus has done for us. And he is alive. He set us free. And he also promised that when he went into heaven, he would send the Holy Spirit to live with each one of us. So we don't have to worry that we haven't physically got Jesus with us, because we've got every single one of us, if we know the Lord Jesus, has given us his Holy Spirit, which means we can have the power and the confidence that only Jesus can give. And when he was on the earth physically, he could only give it to the people he was with. Now, because he's in heaven and has sent the Holy Spirit, we can all have that power, all have that confidence and that assurance of his presence. How are you two guys doing down there? Thank you, Derek. Before we pray, I know, Roger, you wanted someone to encourage us from the village. Can you just tell us what's happening in the village this weekend? That's all right, go for it, John.
Right. Looking good. Now, as an old college plant says, what else you might do, never turn your back on your audience, dear boy. So, anyway, there is a football match tomorrow afternoon on Gosden Green between the Hares and the Hounds. Among the team leaders is Stephen Pretty Boy Blake and Connor the Blaster Blake. Two generations of Blakes. Nan and Grandad, of course, will be cheering them on from a touchline. Kick-off is 1:30, 3 minutes each way, followed by a family match, no quarter given or asked. Only joking. The Hare and Hounds have got a good reputation for supporting local charities. This time, all proceeds will be donated to St. Catherine's Hospice. The forecast is good, so if you want to come along and watch a not too, be taken too seriously football match, see you there. There will be an optional raffle, a barbecue. So enjoy the football, have a burger, wash down with a nice ice cold beverage, all in moderation, of course. Mustn't upset the poor. Happy Easter, and on this special day, may Jesus bless us all. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Roger. Thank you. Everything else that's happening is already in this, so I don't need me to go through that, because we all read it and pray for it daily, don't we? I hope we do, because it does. Because a lot of things in there that it's not just about what's happening today. We need to pray. We pray that it will go well tomorrow. And there's an opportunity. We talk about community, to be in the community. And if this is a chance you've got to be there, part of this community, because even though it's not technically about Jesus, the fact that you're there, Jesus is present. And we know when we look at Jesus' life, he went about where people were. He didn't go off into a little room and say, right, come and see me. He went where people were. So that'd be great if you can get to do that. Or wherever else we're going tomorrow, as a family or as in groups or wherever. Wherever we are, remember that we're being Jesus wherever we go. We need to pray for some sad news we've probably heard in Sri Lanka, that our brothers and sisters have gone to be with Jesus already. Now, that's not sad for them in a way, but it is sad. But we know that many of our brothers and sisters died when somebody decided to blow up their church. Can you imagine, we're sitting here now and suddenly we're gone. Now, if we know Jesus, we have that assurance that we're instantly with him. But maybe there was those who don't, we don't know. But whatever that motivated those people to do that, we pray that the Holy Spirit will convict them of what they've done is wrong, for whatever motive they may have. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for these offerings, tokens of our love for you. And we ask you to use them and bless them and increase them, Lord, that we may be an effective witness of your love in this community, in whatever way you tell us to do it. Lord, we thank you for the good news of Phil, that he's improving. And we pray, Lord, that by your Holy Spirit you will touch him afresh this morning, that although he's not with us physically, he is here with us. In his sense, he will know that we're thinking of him by your Holy Spirit's connecting power. Restore him totally, we pray. And for many others who would love to be here, we've all got folks we know about, Lord, who would love to have shared with us today, but for one reason or another, just aren't able to. We just take a moment and think. We've all got folks we can think of. I won't mention names because I'll be bound to forget some, but you know, and even more important, the Lord knows. Thank you, Jesus, that you are there with those people now. We pray that your love will surround them and strengthen them and comfort them on this special day. We pray, Lord, for that situation out in Sri Lanka. Lord, where many of our brothers and sisters have been killed. And it seems because they worship you, because they love you, like we do. And Lord, we know in many places around this world today, there's people struggling and suffering because they love you. And Lord, we pray that you will be that risen Christ to them, that they will know your strength and your support, that will know your power in their lives, that even in their adversity, which we can't really fathom how awful that must be, to have people wanting to hurt you, to destroy you, to destroy what you know, just because we love you. Lord Jesus, we pray that you'll bless them, you'll encourage them, and bring change to those that have done such things. Lord, you changed each one of us who know you, so you can change them. You can give them a new heart. You can bring them to that point of realizing how they've done wrong. So we commit all this to you, Lord, now. Lord, there's other places in Africa, and even in Ireland the other night, Lord. Young teenage boys wanting to shoot people. Lord, it just seems so crazy. Lord, I pray that you would encourage us as you're encouraging the communities over there today to celebrate your love and your offer of forgiveness and new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. We bring all these things to you now in his name. Amen. Let's sing together a wonderful song, My Lord, What Love Is This? This, when we think of all the things in this world that's going on and has gone on for ever since Jesus was here, it's been going on. And yet he loves us so much. My Lord, what love is this? Thank you. Take a seat. It's got one little thing just to share with you before we all rush out for coffee or tea or squash or whatever. I think we're big enough. Okay. I just thought as we to leave, just something to something from the everyday that we can take home with us and tell other people about. We've had having a great time sort of celebrating and experiencing God's love and God's forgiveness. But is it something, I mean, this is, we start here. This is trying to explain joy, heaven, being with Jesus. I've got hearts. I mean, everyone's got a different idea of what it is to be with Jesus. For me, I thought of light and all sorts of sparkly things, loving things. So that's our interpretation. And would you like to go to a place where it's all happy and joyful and people love you? Yeah? Yeah. Well, that's good. Because this is what I think all of us, if we're honest, in life, and all the people we meet would really like to have a good time, have a good life. And you so often hear when people come to the end of their life, oh, well, they've gone to heaven. Well, that's where we want to go. Everyone wants that. But the other thing I noticed that so often, going through life, maybe I can't get there. I see this sign, stop. You can't just go to a beautiful place. You can't have everything just perfect. Oh, well, why not? You mean stop? No one likes a stop sign, do they? Well, there's a reason for that. Because there's no entry. You can't get in. That's why. So that place that we all long for, to be happy and joyful, there's always something stopping us. No entry. Like, and the driving on the... You see that sign? You have to stop. You can't go in. And yet the wonderful thing is, God wants us to be with him in that glorious place. And the thing is, when we get to that place, we're there for all time, forever. So what does Jesus do? Well, he wants it so much that he went to a cross. Because you see, because we're so bad, and that's what sin's all about, is being horrible, selfish, only think about me, what I want. I don't care about anybody else. I want this, I want that. And I don't care. That's what selfishness is. Jesus said, because of that, you can't get there. Because God doesn't like that. We call it sin, but that sin is just being horrible and nasty. Being selfish and unloving. But Jesus came and said, look, because of that, God won't accept you, but I will take the price. I will pay the price. That's what we've been hearing about today. On the cross, we can know a way. And this is the final way is through. We can cross over into that place. And I just want to take us, when we go away today, to think that although we may think, okay, I've been told I'm stopped. There's no entry. But actually, if you go through the cross, there is a way to get there. I pray that each of us in this room knows that way and has accepted that way. But if you haven't, please do. It's on offer for every single one of us. The whole Easter story that Claudia explained to us. Because Jesus loves us so much and wants us to share. And the thing is, we can share in that today for eternity. However long eternity is, and longer and longer. I mentioned that prayer earlier about the universe. They're trying to measure the universe and how many hundreds and hundreds and thousands of light years it would take to get to the edge of it. And that's just the bit we know about. God is beyond all that because he made it. And he made a lot of other stuff too. We can be experienced that right now. So that if, as sadly, our brothers and sisters in Sri Lanka this morning are no longer physically here, they're there. They've been experiencing it when they met him, and now they see him face to face. Sad as it is for those left behind, for them it's a glorious thing. And we can experience that glorious thing right now. And I pray this Easter time, we'll remember that when we see people. We see them in the street, when you see them at the football match. If they They all want that. Everybody wants a glorious, happy life. But this is the only way you'll get it. We know that because we've found it. But for those who haven't, we need to tell them so that they get the chance to respond and cross over through Jesus into that glorious life. Let's pray, and then we'll sing our final song. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have provided the way for eternal life. And as we were reminded the other day, when that thief on the cross said, "Remember me," Jesus said, "Yeah, you're going to be with me today. You're going to die today and be with me in paradise." Whatever that means, Lord, we don't know. It's just in your presence. We can see you face to face and live with you forever. But thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can experience you today, right now. We don't have to wait for anything. We can experience you now. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, we can experience you every day, all day. Because you love us so much and desire our friendship so much. You'll never let us down. You're never going to leave us. You love us even when we let you down. You're still there for us. Thank you for that, Lord Jesus. And I pray you'll help us to share that with the people we meet. Not only today, but the rest of our lives, of the joy and the wonder and the amazing love you have for each one of us and for them too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing a good old classic, "Thine Be the Glory." Or if in modern day language we'd say, "Yours be the glory," because that's what "thine" means. Brilliant. Lord Jesus, we thank you that because of what you've done for us, because you've sent the Holy Spirit to live within us, we are more than conquerors. We can take on all that this world would throw at us and know an assurance, know a victory in you. And I pray, Lord, as we go out in that victory, that the message, "He is risen," will be on our lips, will be in our faces, will be in our bodies, that as we meet people this coming week, they will see a difference that we can tell them about you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And just before we go, if you could just, I almost forgot, take a quick seat. Oh, I would have been in trouble. If you'd like to take one and pass it on. There you are, Mark. Take it on, pass it on.
God bless you.
And forgiveness if my faith wasn't enough and we run out. The tea and coffee are served. Thank you.